In today's readings, we're invited into the intimacy of God committing himself to Abraham and to all of his descendants, physical and spiritual. We're also invited into the very prayer of Jesus. So God brings Abram outside and says, "Count the stars if you can. Just so shall your descendants be." Stars at night, right, without any electric lights, that's a dazzling scene to behold. Beautiful. But it's necessary to realize that in this scene, it's not night. Just a few verses later, Genesis says, "When the sun had set and it was dark." But here, God brings Abram outside in the full light of day and says, "Count the stars if you can." Abram had been complaining to God that he was childless. And God brings him outside, and the only star that he can see is the sun. And it's as though he says to him, "Abram, even though you can't see the stars, you know that they're there. Do you believe that they're still there? You can't see right now all of your descendants, but I can. Trust me." And Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. God says to us, "I promise never to leave you, to love you more than life itself." "Well, Lord, I'm feeling rather alone right now, rather lost right now, overwhelmed right now, left behind right now, beaten down. But the stars are there whether we see them or not. And the Lord is supporting you whether you feel his presence or not. Trust him." We have some of our elect and candidates preparing to step forward in trust at the end of Lent by joining the church. There's a promise of authentic communion, real communion with God and with all his saints. Christ the Lord says to each one of them too, "Trust my bride, the church. Trust her and embrace her. She will bring you to me." And then God invites Abram into a deeper level of relationship, a covenant, a binding commitment, just like marriage. Literally, the Hebrew is to cut a covenant. And we see that here, where Abram cuts the animals in half and then walks between them, the idea being that may this happen to me if I'm unfaithful to this covenant. Abram trusted, and it was credited to him as righteousness, but then he followed his act of faith with an act of religion. The word religion, which is a virtue, literally means to bind together. So there's a threefold act here. We believe, Abram trusted. Grace saves us. Abram was made righteous. And an act of religion binds us to God. The act of covenant making bound Abram to God. Faith, grace, and religion are all three necessary. St. Paul gives us a model for living out our faith in Christ so that we never fall into the trap of becoming an enemy of the cross of Christ. An enemy of the cross of Christ is one who lives only for this world, whose God is their stomach, who forgets about our true citizenship that is not here, but in heaven. And Paul gives us a promise. The Lord Jesus will change our lowly body to conform to his glorified body. What's the glorified body look like? We get a glimpse of it in the gospel today. in the Transfiguration account. It's interesting to think that when Abram went outside to see the stars, there was one star that he did see with his physical eyes, and that was the sun. The deepest meaning of the promise given to Abram was that from his descendants would come the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. In the gospel today, you and I see Jesus Christ transfigured into the Son of Righteousness. We get a glimpse of Jesus' glorified body, his face changed, and his clothing dazzling white. And just a few words before the opening verse in today's gospel, it actually says, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James. That mention of 8 days is intentional to evoke his resurrection on Sunday, which is called the eighth day. The first creation began in Genesis on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And the new creation, the resurrection, is also on Sunday, the eighth day of the week. Sunday is both the first day and the eighth day of the week, the first day of the first creation, the eighth day of the new creation. That's why baptismal fonts are often in eight-sided, eight-shaped in eight sides, just like ours is right there. Transfiguration is a glimpse of the future resurrection. But there's no resurrection without the cross. And in the midst of transfigured glory, Jesus is speaking to Moses and Elijah about his exodus in Jerusalem. In other words, about his suffering and death on the cross. There's no glory without the cross. The gospel says that Jesus went up the mountain to pray. His prayer wasn't just words. His prayer was transformational. And in his prayer, he speaks with Moses and Elijah. Not unlike how in our prayers, we sometimes speak with Mary and the saints. Peter wakes up and wants to build three tents, three temples for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Notice he puts Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah, which is not good. Messed up there, Peter. Notice he also wants to put Jesus in a temple. But the truth is that Jesus is the temple. And the cloud, which is the Holy Spirit, overshadows and fills him. That verb, overshadowed, it's the same verb used in the Old Testament when the temple was overshadowed by the glory of the Lord. It's the same verb used in the New Testament when the angel Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And in every Mass, when the priest uses his hands to overshadow the bread and the wine, praying for the Holy Spirit to transfigure the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. There's real power in this Holy Spirit. The prayer of Jesus is transformative. Not merely words, it's transforming power. And Jesus invites us into his prayer. The gospel says that Jesus allowed Peter, John, and James to enter that overshadowing cloud, to enter his temple, to be surrounded by his Holy Spirit. And it says the apostles were frightened to do so. Honestly, it's frightening to pray like a Christian, to pray like Jesus, to pray and thereby let ourselves be transformed. If I believe by listening trustingly to God's chosen Son, if I surrender to his saving grace by inviting the Holy Spirit to overshadow my heart and to take possession of my life, if I then become an active participant in my religion, serving the church and seeking out the sacraments, faith, grace, and religion, I'll be transformed just as surely as Jesus was. Don't be afraid. Enter into the cloud that is the Holy Spirit and let the chosen Son choose you and transform you. Here's the homework for the week. Pray to be transformed, transfigured, taking on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the way Christ sees and loves you and others and this world, not through a worldly lens, but through the mind and heart of Christ.